It's game time.
Time is now!
Driven by Briggs Auto Lane.
Let's have some fun. Let's go!
And BriggsAuto.com. Get in the game.
Welcome into Hour 2 of the game. Cole Manbeck is going to join us here in just a moment. And we'll get two segments with him since this week is a little bit different. We have no Tyler here. I've got no backups. It's just all me. No Mitch for the second hour either. He's off to MHS. We'll have the call for Tri Basketball tonight. So looking forward to talking to Cole for a while here on football and basketball. I'll address one sort of lingering question from K-State's win over Oklahoma on Saturday at 5:40 heading into the game against Texas Tech tonight. Then we've got Jabroni of the Week at 5:50 making its triumphant return after we missed it last week because of Mitch Fortner's absence. So I'm sure you're all waiting and clamoring for that. You think the comeback by Clemson last night was something? We've got an even bigger and better comeback for you in Jabroni of the Week to close off the first hour of the show. As always, you can tweet the show, The Game KMAN, if you have questions or comments throughout. Might have some time for some phone calls later on in the hour. But for now, we've got our man Cole Manbeck on the line. He is a member of the Powercat Game Day crew. You read his work at PowercatGameDay.com throughout the season. Cole, we have not yet addressed through an hour of the show the most important storyline for the national championship game last night, and that is that 16-plus years later, Brent Venables finally gets his national title. And he finally got it as the defensive coordinator for Clemson. How happy are you for your guy Venables winning it all last night?
Well, I'm thrilled, and I actually think it's I need to go back and check this. I think it's his second, actually, John.
Oh, was he at Oklahoma?
I think he got the one at Oklahoma in 2000.
You're right.
With Josh Heupel, so.
You're right.
But it's been a while. Hey, it's been a while, and to go with your point, I mean, I'm thrilled for him. I mean, you know, how big of a fan I am of Brent Venables and how much I want him at Kansas State when that time comes up, when Bill Snyder does choose to retire. So actually just read an article on ESPN.com today about Venables. It's a couple weeks old, but it's really a fantastic read and speaks to how he took over the scout team quarterback for Clemson this entire season and ran the scout team offense. It's just very fascinating.
Brent Venables himself ran the scout team offense?
Yeah, I'll send you the link. He nicknamed himself, he created a new name for himself called Jimmy Greenbean. And the nickname he gave himself, very random, but he didn't like the way the scout team quarterback was preparing when they went into Auburn to start the season. And so he just took over and he ran it the rest of the year.
Well, if you look at him on the sideline, I mean, he looks like he's still in shape, like he could get out there and play.
Yeah, it's fascinating. In the article, Ben Bulware, their star linebacker, talks about how Venables has a six-pack, and it actually speaks to how they think he could go out there and lead the team at interceptions. Their starting cornerback, who's their best defensive player in the secondary, said that he thinks that Venables would lead the team at interceptions this season if he played at the age of 46.
Wow.
It's interesting. I'll send you the link. It's a couple weeks old, like I said, but It talks about his future and, you know, wanting to be a head coach, whether or not he wants to do that. It has to be a special job for him. And, you know, I think Kansas State would possibly be one of those opportunities if K-State did approach him. That would be a job he'd be interested in.
Well, I feel a little bit silly coming at you with the little nugget that I supposedly thought I had about Brent Venables, because, one, I was wrong about him being there for the Oklahoma national title. Also, I did my math poorly. Obviously, 1998 to 2017, that doesn't equate to 16 years. I was more along the lines of that 2000 national championship. So you really schooled me on the Venables knowledge there. I appreciate it.
I could come across as a stalker of Brent Venables almost sometimes, so I'm sure I freak people out sometimes with as much I talk about him. So,
well, you know,
no worries.
You become then the best guy to ask this question. I mean, do you think his star getting maybe a little brighter from winning this game? I'm not sure that has a ton of an effect, but getting a little bit brighter from this game has any kind of effect on whether or not you think he might end up taking the head coaching job here one day?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, he won the Broyles Award this last year now for the top assistant coach in the country. It gets them continued notoriety. The Clemson defense, really, since he's been there, he turned it around. I don't know if you remember when Dabo Swinney took over at Clemson, their defense was a mess, and in the Orange Bowl a few years ago before Venables got there, they gave up 70 points to West Virginia. And then Venables came in, and he's completely transformed that defensive side of the football. Now he's won the Broyles Award. Now he's won a national championship there. And honestly, I think the offense was great last night for Clemson, especially in the second half. But the defense really kept them in that football game early on, and they were put in some horrible situations because of a couple turnovers and bad field position, and they stood tall. So I think it does have an impact. I think it increases the likelihood that more people are going to come after him over the next couple of years. And honestly, look, I think he's comfortable as a defensive coordinator. He's one of the highest paid assistant coaches in the country. He doesn't have to worry about all the responsibility of the head coach. But, you know, if I'm Kansas State, when that time does come, I think you absolutely have to target him as one of your top front runners for the job and pursue him. I think that's the guy that would really energize the fan base. And it's pretty interesting to go through Twitter last night, and of all the people I follow, I mean, just so many people tweeting about bringing Brent Venables back to K-State during that game and afterwards. So when that time comes, I mean, that's the guy I pursue.
Cole Manbeck talking with us here on the game. You know, K-State football-wise, one thing that we do get out of today is that the final polls come out and a whole bunch of preseason polls, you know, for next year are debuted today as well. And a lot of stuff rolling in here for the Wildcats. They're 26th and 27th in the two final polls for this season, so they finished just outside the top 25. But I mean, I've seen number 17 by ESPN, number 16 by Fox, number 21 from Sports Illustrated in their top 25s for 2017. Does this all seem about in line with where it should be, even in light of the Elijah Lee news?
Yeah, I think so. I certainly think it's fair. And while it's disappointing, and I know a lot of K-State fans are disappointed to not be in the final coaches or AP poll for the season, we do need to keep in perspective that while this team did win six of their last seven games, they didn't beat a top 25 team this year. Texas A&M was the best win, and they're 8-5 now to close out the year. They're unranked. So K-State didn't have an outstanding resume, but 9-4 is 9-4. You look at the teams in front of them. I think the only one you could probably really question to push out, I think you question San Diego State, and then also Auburn with the five losses. But a couple of those losses are obviously to Oklahoma and Alabama, two of the top teams in the country. So, and Clemson actually. So, yeah, it's disappointing. I thought K-State would sneak into the top 25, but looking into next season, I think what ultimately matters is what you're going to be in the preseason rankings. If you have aspirations of getting in the college football playoff next year, which, you know, if you can win the Big 12, you're certainly going to be in the conversation. So the preseason rankings, it puts you in a better position for that. If you could fall around 20th, 18th, right around that neighborhood, I think that's fair and would certainly be exciting. And look, if you start there, I think K-State's got an opportunity to start off 4-0. With a big game at Texas looming in Game 5. So if you go 4-0 to start the year, you're probably creeping into the top 10 almost with the teams that will lose in front of you.
Yeah, I was thinking along the same lines. You know, for one, we went back and looked this up the other day, but going into the 2012 season, K-State was ranked 21st in one poll, 22nd in the other. So it's right now looking like you're going to be pegged about the same spot that 2012 team was in the preseason. And then looking at the schedule, yeah, as long as you win at Vandy, you're more than likely going to be 4-0 because you start out Big 12 play with Baylor, new head coach, not sure who all is going to be there for them, and that game's in Manhattan. Then that does set up for a huge game at Texas because the Longhorns are another one of those teams that are showing up in a lot of these polls, and that could be a really fun one. I guess what I'm seeing right now, and I'll see if you agree with this, is that people seem to view the Big 12 at this point next year as Tier 1, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, Tier 2, K-State, Texas, and West Virginia. Does that seem about right?
I would probably throw TCU in the mix as well. And the reason being, they returned 10 starters on offense, including Kenny Hill and Kyle Hicks, their do-it-all running back who leads them in receiving as well. And if you look at ESPN's rankings that Mark Schlebeck did, the way too early top 25, he has TCU at the number 19 ranking. So they're in the mix as well. And then West Virginia is interesting because they do lose some guys, some key players, but, you know, I don't know how much worse off they're going to be at quarterback. Look, Skylar Howard was a solid player and, you know, played hard for them, but they're getting a guy that's a former five-star recruit, Will Greer, transfer from Florida, who was suspended a couple years ago and decided to transfer out of Florida and go to West Virginia while he sat out last season. So, they've got some talent certainly back. But, yeah, I would view it that way, John, that Oklahoma and Oklahoma State are the favorites, and then you got K-State that I wouldn't say on the outside, but they're in that kind of tier two category. I think K-State has a shot. I mean, the Oklahoma game obviously is going to be huge in Manhattan, and the news that Joe Mixon decided to go pro along with P. Ryan and the loss of Westbrook, they're going to have to replace a lot. They get all five offensive linemen back, the Sooners do, but look, K-State has an opportunity to win this league, and the thing that I like about going back to a Big 12 championship, I wouldn't say that I like it overall. I think it's a little bit silly, but it does put you in the conversation. You can afford to slip up and probably lose a game and still be there to play in that championship game now instead of possibly having to be perfect in the Big 12 to win the league. You just got to finish in the top two, and you're playing for a Big 12 title. So K-State has an opportunity where they can probably slip up either to Oklahoma or Oklahoma State and still get in that title game.
I'm talking to Cole Manbeck on the game. We've been beating around the bush here. The tough question to answer is, I mean, how much does it hurt and how much less likely is it that all that you just discussed actually happens now that Elijah Lee is going to the NFL?
Well, it definitely stings, and a little bit unexpected from my point of view. I thought Elijah Lee would probably stick it out, but again, I don't know everything that's going on in his mind, and he says that he got a third or fourth round evaluation. So, you know, for some individuals, that's too much to pass up. I think he could have benefited from another year in the program and possibly could have gotten into the second round had he stayed for another year and had a productive senior season, but you're also risking injury and whatnot. So I wish him the best. It does put a little bit of a damper on things because now we have a lot of unknowns at the linebacker position for K-State. And, you know, I think Trent Tanking and Sam Sizelove are certainly very capable players, but we just haven't seen them play much. So they'll have to break them in and get them going. I think it certainly hurts. And I would probably argue that the loss of Mike Moore, whose graduation, which he knew was coming, is an even bigger loss. I think Mike Moore was such a key cog to the defense, especially against the run these last couple of years. And when he came into the mix last season in the second half of the year, I thought he really helped turn that defense around for K-State. So it's going to be a challenge replacing those two because K-State's been so good against the run these last couple of years to have to replace your linebackers. But I certainly think there's opportunities there. And look, Elijah Sullivan is a guy that I certainly could see get in the mix, a very, very athletic linebacker out of Georgia who was highly touted, highly recruited out of high school, very fast, played on all of K-State's special teams this year. He'll be a sophomore next year. He's a guy that, you know, maybe could fill the void there.
I'm definitely excited about Sullivan, and Cole Manbeck is on the game here with me. I you know, he was the guy, if you don't remember, a couple of years ago, signing day, surprise. He had been committed to Auburn. I think they wanted him to grayshirt then at the last minute. He came here instead. But, you know, the follow-up question really I would have here is, does K-State need to go out and get a JUCO linebacker to feel good about things? Do you think a JUCO linebacker would have a shot to come in and start, or are they in decent enough hands with what's left?
I do think they probably do need to go out and get at least a junior college linebacker, and there's a couple really talented ones in the Kansas junior college ranks at Dodge City and Garden City. If they can convince them, get in on them late to come to K-State. Look, I mean, that's a position that K-State hasn't recruited heavily the last couple of years is linebacker, especially when you really only start two linebackers most of the time. You don't need a ton of numbers there, but now we're kind of seeing the effects of that a little bit because you look at this past recruiting class, the current one here in 2017, they don't have a single linebacker committed. And then you go back to last year, they had Jimmy McKinney. He left the program before it even started. Mason Barta is a gray shirt. He's a long ways off before he's producing for you. And then Ian Rudzik was going to be a gray shirt out of Ulysses, Kansas. They ended up redshirting him, changing that gray shirt to a red shirt. So he's a freshman next year. And then the recruiting class before, really they only brought in one linebacker, one true linebacker, because Chase Johnston was moved to fullback now. So, you know, they're kind of thin now on the numbers there. So I think you have to bring in a guy from the JUCO ranks. And then there's the kid out of Oregon that they're chasing after right now, who's a top 250 recruit nationally, a top 15 linebacker in the country, and Daniel Green, who has scheduled an official visit to K-State. But he's in the West Coast. He decommitted from USC several weeks ago. So that's a guy I know they're after. Maybe they can sell possibly immediate playing time to him. He's also taken an official visit to Utah, so they'll have to win a difficult recruiting situation there, but that's certainly a name to keep your eye on as well.
Well, let's head to a break here. Cole's going to stick with us for another segment on the game. We haven't even touched on basketball tonight. A huge game against Texas Tech. Really, really big for both teams, but in particular, I think for K-State, the way that you view schedule setting up the rest of the way. We'll ask Cole about that. Maybe some parenting questions as well, because that's turned into a theme when Cole joins the show. You're listening to The Game.